if you will, I want you to get several passages of scripture. I'm not going to repeat what Gilbert did, but I want you to go to 2 Timothy 2:15, Acts 28, 1 Corinthians 4. We're going to put a stop on this right now. How can we preach without using Paul's epistle?
This is to stretch you.
Okay. This is Grace Believers Bible Conference.
Amen.
Okay? Do y'all know what grace is? It's unmerited favor from God Almighty. In Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 4 with me. But God, you know, I like the buts that Paul puts in his epistles.
Amen.
Because he tells you something and then he adds something to it. But something better is happening right here. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, in parentheses, to catch your eye, by grace you're saved. I want you to think about something. When Jesus Christ died at Calvary, he told his apostles that he was going to die, and then he would go down into the heart of the earth. He'd be gone 3 days and three nights. He would come back up. He spent 40 days with the 12 apostles after his resurrection. And after that, he ascended up and he went back up to where God the Father was. In Acts chapter 9, the Lord appeared to the apostle Paul and gave him a dispensation. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 16. For though I preach the gospel. Now I think Gilbert made it pretty clear about Paul, where he got his gospel. In Acts chapter 26, he told King Agrippa, he said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. In other words, when Jesus Christ came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he trained 12 apostles to carry on a message after he was going to be crucified and go back to where God the Father was, the glory that he had with the Lord before the world began. And when the church, the body of Christ, is raptured out of here, now listen to me, the only people going out at the rapture are people that are saved.
Amen.
By the grace of God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Now you can repeat a sinner's prayer. You can do the thing in Acts chapter 2, repent and be baptized for remission of sins, looking forward to salvation at the second coming. But I got news for you. If you're sitting here and you've heard the gospel of Christ already and you missed the rapture, you're going to believe the Antichrist when he comes, because God's going to cause you to believe it.
That's
because
right.
You wouldn't receive the love of the truth now.
That's
what
right.
Is the love of the truth? That God Almighty loved you just like you are.
Amen.
God, who's rich in mercy, for his great love. Not my
Amen.
Love.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He loved me before I ever even knew who he was.
That's right.
I never had heard of him when he loved me based on his foreknowledge, knowing that when I heard the gospel of Christ, a day in my lifetime, I would trust that. And I did that in the United States Marine Corps in Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, laying in my bunk. I had walked the aisle for Jesus. I had got baptized. I was in a grace church and walked the aisle for Jesus. There was five or six of us young men. We heard how they brutally crucified this man, and then we walked the aisle, got baptized, joined the church. Well, I went off into the Marines and I found out I wasn't saved. Mm. My brother, when I was in the Marines, my brother was in the Air Force in Thule, Greenland, and I got a letter at home. He was one of the young men that walked the aisle, same day I did. I got a letter in my desk at the house where he wrote my mom a letter and said, I finally realized that Christ died for me.
Amen.
Died for me. Amen. Well, after that, I got thinking about some things. I had walked the aisle, done all the things I was supposed to do, but I wasn't saved. I was a lost believer. There may be somebody sitting in here, you're a lost believer. You know, I believe there are millions of lost believers in this world. I believe there are millions of people that believe the death, the burial, and resurrection, but they've never trusted that for their salvation.
Amen.
Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise.
Amen.
You know how long you're sealed?
Forever.
According to Ephesians chapter 4, you're sealed until the day of redemption.
Amen.
The day of redemption of our vow body right here, our vow body will be changed. The Lord himself is coming for me. He ain't sending no angel.
Amen.
The Lord himself is coming. The Lord over here, these Hebrew epistles over here, these tribulation saints over here, when the second coming comes, Jesus Christ is going to send down his angels over here. And you can read about it back here in Matthew chapter 13. He said, the day of harvest, I will send the angels. Well, Matthew 24 ain't got nothing to do with the rapture.
Amen. That's right.
You understand? It's two different days. Two different times. Two different people.
Amen.
Yes. Let me ask you a question. Y'all don't mind me asking you a question, do you? You may not answer me. Do y'all know in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, who's looking for the rapture?
Sure.
We're going to learn something. These people right here, those that are members of his body, Ephesians 5:30, I'm a member of his flesh and his bone, spiritually baptized by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, Paul said, by one Spirit, and you'll notice when you read that, that's a capital S, that's the Holy Spirit. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body.
That's right.
Amen, brother.
The body, bless your heart, the body was resurrected in A.D. 33.
That's right.
When Jesus Christ came out of that grave, out of hell, he left my sins down there. God forgive him all of my sins. He brought him up from there. He didn't just bring his head up. He brought his body up. Look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 where we at here. Verse 16 again. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. You see that exclamation point there? Making emphasis to the gospel. What is the gospel that Paul preached? That Christ died for our sins. Every time I preach this, for years I worked in the paper mill. There was an electrician that rode a bicycle all over that mill. They worked all over the mill. And most everywhere they go, they had to wear a hard hat. And that man had a solid white hard hat. It had little knobs on it, all the way around it. You know what that man had wrote on that them knobs? It was for me he died. Mm-hmm. Everywhere he went through that mill, Everybody knew that that man knew somebody had died for him. Mm-hmm. Have you ever learned that Jesus Christ died for you? Yes. Just, I mean, look at you. Go look in the mirror. Y'all, some of y'all could love, but I don't know about some of you. Some of y'all about like me, you'd just rather not look in the mirror. Try to forget what that thing looks like in there. No, God loves you just like he was, and he sent his son to die for you and pay for your sins. Why? That you can have eternal life with him. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 again, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins.
Amen.
He didn't say after I repented of my sins. He said he loved me even when I was dead in my sins. Now watch what he said in parentheses. But, well, let's read verse 5 again. Let me do that again. Even when we were dead in sins, comma, hath. We got any English teachers in here? Y'all know what the word hath means? It's past tense, ain't it? That's a past tense verb, right? I reckon that's a verb, ain't it? I didn't do too good in English. But it's past tense, ain't it? So what does that mean? He's already quickened us together with Christ. When was Christ quickened? AD 33. Y'all know what that AD means?
After death.
You know, a lot of people think, I have my brother-in-law, bless his heart. He said, how could Jesus Christ, if that means after death, how could he have died 33 years after his death? That's a good question. You know what AD 33 means? Well, not the 33, but AD. Anno Domini. It's a Latin word for in the year of our Lord. I don't know if y'all ever heard people read documents like a government document years ago. They don't do it anymore. Because ain't no too many people in our government believes in God no more.
Amen.
But they would read a document and they would say, in the year of our Lord. And they'd give the year. That's what it means. The year of our Lord is when I was resurrected. Praise God for that.
Amen.
Praise God. You can't beat it. Now watch what he says. Verse 6. Hath raised us up together. Did he raise us up together? Well, together means together, don't it?
Yeah.
If you're saved, and I've heard some of you people's testimony in here, you were raised up the same day I were.
That's right. That's right.
And I know good and well y'all ain't as old. Some of you ain't as old as I am. And some of you in here older than I am. But if you're saved, we were all raised together in the mind of God Almighty based on his foreknowledge, knowing that you would trust Christ as your personal Savior.
That's right. Amen.
And he didn't. I had my grandsons went to a Baptist school, praise the Lord. they have turned their back on God. You know how I know they have? They used the New King James Bible. And it ain't the Bible. I got one out there in my truck right out there. And it's got Holy Bible on it. Well, I took a black mark and I marked out that Holy. I didn't want nobody, and I wrote on the inside of it, for comparison only. Yeah. I don't want nobody to think I believe that lying thing. I tell you what to do. Y'all turn to Proverbs chapter 25. Let me show you something. Now, listen, do y'all believe God can lie?
No.
Do you believe he will lie?
No.
All right. Why don't you turn to Proverbs chapter 25? And I showed this to that principal over there at that school, and she just shrugged her shoulders, and I know why, because if she'd have brought up any waves about the thing, they'd have fired her. She'd have lost her job. I know why she wouldn't do anything about it. And I got some brochures at the place where I teach Bible study class on Sunday morning. The New King James condemns itself. It's a little booklet thing. And I give her one of them to study, and I imagine she probably put it in the garbage. But anyway, Proverbs 25, verse 23. The north wind brings forth rain. So doeth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue.
My Bible didn't say that.
Is that what your Bible said, Jerry?
No.
That's what that rotten, low-down New King James Bible says. Now listen, somebody lied. The 1611 King James Bible in Proverbs 25, 23 says, the north wind driveth away rain. The New King James Bible says the north wind brings forth rain.
Wow.
Now somebody lied, didn't they?
Yeah.
I had a friend of mine at work. I worked at the paper mill. At dinner time, I'd sit and study, read and study. I was going to Jerry Lockhart's class on Monday nights in Mobile, Alabama. It's 63 South, no, it's 263, I believe, wasn't it? Yeah, South St. Francis Street, downtown. Well, this fella come to me, and I maintained his lift truck that he drove. I mechanicked it and kept it going for him. And I'd be studying, and he'd come over there and study with me. Well, he come over there one day, and he brought his Bible with him, and he had a NIV. And I showed him the lies in that book, and he said, I think I'll go give this to somebody. I said, wait a minute, his name's Alan Kester. I said, Alan, if it ain't no good for you, why would you give it to somebody else? He said, Rick, what ought to do with it? I said, well, there's a trash can right there. He throwed that thing in the trash can.
Amen.
Beloved, I wouldn't go to a church that used the New King James Bible. I wouldn't set foot in it. Them people, they had a in the sixth grade, in this Baptist school, in the sixth grade, they teach Bible study. Well, I'm over there, I get over there early to get my grandkids, and I'm talking to some of the people, and I'm preaching to them and trying to share the Word of God with them, teach them how to be saved, and tell them what they got to do to be saved. And some of the parents came to me and said, we got a problem. This teacher, sixth grade Bible teacher, told this boy that he couldn't be saved. Said the kid went home crying, told his mom and daddy, said, that Bible teacher told me I was predestinated to go to hell. He said, that preacher said, God predestinated some to go to hell and some to be saved. He said, he pointed at that little boy and he said, he predestinated you to go to hell. They wanted me to go in and confront that fellow. You know what I told them? I said, y'all got a worse problem than that over here. Well, what's that? I said, y'all got a book in there written by Satan, that New King James. I said, I ain't going in there and tell him nothing. I said, y'all get rid of that book in there, and I may help you. And what's it going to do for that same man to tell that kid he can't be saved? Somebody get the truth to him. I told his mom and daddy that man didn't know what he's talking about, and I showed him Romans chapter 8. Those that God foreknew, he did predestinate. And if you want to know about the foreknowledge of God, you ought to go back and study about Abraham.
Amen.
Abraham didn't even have a son. Not out of his own bowels. He had a son by a maid. And God said, you know, I'm going to go over there and destroy that place over there. He said, you know what? He said, I know that Abraham's going to instruct his seed in the right way. And he ain't got one yet. He said, I can't hide this thing from that fellow. So I got to show him what I'm going to do. Abraham didn't even have a child. Now you talk about God's foreknowledge. He knows every single one of you sitting here right now. God Almighty knew that if you was going to be here tonight to hear the gospel of Christ. God got you here tonight for a specific reason to hear the gospel. And you know what Paul told you to do in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Turn there, please. Second Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Now, brother, this will make you look. This will make you look in the mirror and examine yourself. What am I looking at? Am I looking at a reprobate here? Or am I looking at a saved man? In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? Well, can you look in the mirror when you get home tonight and look at that image that you are looking at there and examine that image by the truth of the Word of God? Rightly divided by the gospel that was preached by the Apostle Paul. Paul is the first person that ever heard that Jesus Christ, when he died at Calvary, died for men's sins.
Amen.
Peter did not know that in Acts 2. Peter did not know that in Acts chapter 10. Peter did not know that when he went to Cornelius. You know what he told Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, a Gentile and Italian? He said, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with him.
Amen.
Y'all believe Peter meant what he said?
Yes.
I do. I believe they had to repent and be baptized.
Amen.
But Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize.
Not.
Amen. I had them Baptists. People always ask me about John the Baptist. Got any Baptists in here?
Yeah.
I ain't picking on you, but I just want you to know the truth. Listen, if God Almighty was standing here, he'd tell you the same thing. And I'm his ambassador, and my job is to tell you the truth, whether it hurts you or me or not. It ain't the issue. God wants you to know the truth. Whoever you are.
Amen.
I was preaching at Barry Hampton's church one night. I said something about lying car salesmen. Oh, not a dead dad. There was one sitting right there in the front of me. Lord, you know we can put our feet in our mouth. Our mouth ain't very big, but my feet will fit in there once. No, they asked me about John the Baptist. Was he the first Baptist? Do y'all know who John was sent to baptize?
Jesus.
Turn to Acts 13. You know, I like to ask God these answers. I don't want to give you my answer. I tried to share this with them people over at that Baptist school. They wouldn't hear it. They wouldn't hear it at all. Now, Paul is doing the preaching from verse 16 here, but we're not going to read all of it. Verse 22, and when he had removed him, this is King Saul that they asked for a king back there in the Old Testament. And when he had removed him, he raised up to them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, who shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed of David, hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of the world.
Israel.
No. He didn't say the world, did he? All Israel. Who was John baptizing?
Israelites,
beloved. He wasn't baptizing Baptist people. He was baptizing Israel. He was sent to baptize Israel, not people such as us. You can't follow the teachings of John the Baptist in Romans to Philemon. You can't even follow the teachings of Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, Romans to Philemon. You get out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, bring it into Romans to Philemon, you're going to best well get yourself in trouble. You bring Hebrews through Revelation, which are tribulation saints, over here, you're still going to get in trouble. Go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus Christ, if you got red letter, you know, they say that really makes it official. I believe all scripture, and I believe Gilbert brought that out, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen. Not the footnotes,
amen.
Not the ending guidelines like Schofield and people like that put their little things in there and run you from this verse to another verse. That's not scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, in Luke 6, verse 46. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Have you ever studied Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all the stuff that Jesus Christ put on these people in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to do? Go to, we're pretty close here. Go to Luke 12. Go to Luke 12. Verse 22. And he said unto his disciples. Now listen, I know who he's talking to. He's talking to disciples. And there ain't no disciples in this world today. Y'all know the qualifications of a disciple? Well, first qualification is you got to forsake everything you got.
That's right.
Got to hate your mom and your daddy.
That's right.
Your brother and your sister. In the very life that you're going to have, you got to forsake it to be a disciple.
Amen.
And you know that same Baptist church has discipleship classes with them young'uns over there and teaching disciples. And they don't teach them the truth of being a disciple. You know why? We're going to have a lot of starving people in the world. Now look what Jesus Christ said here. Now, by the way, you can find that in Mark, in chapter 14, if you want to read it, the qualifications of the disciples there. Now, verse 22, he said unto his disciples, therefore say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat. Any of y'all take thought for what you eat?
Amen.
I heard this man talking about these button rump roast or whatever he called it, from a pig or whatever. What'd you call them things?
Boston butts.
Boston butts. Okay. Well, anyway. Are you taking thought of what you're going to feed us?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, why are you doing that? Jesus Christ just said, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat. Neither what you neither for the body what you shall put on. Now I know good and well that the men don't take too much thought about what to put on. But I ain't including you ladies in that. Because I know my wife takes thought for what she puts on. I've seen her change clothes two or three times before she gets it right. And when I get my clothes, my wife matches. And if I wear a tie, I'll put, you can ask my daughter if you ever run into her, she don't forget nothing. I'll put two or three ties on my shoulder and walk into where my wife is and she'll say, that one, that's the one that goes with what you got on. Take thought for what you wear? Well, sure you do. He tells these people don't do it, didn't he? Verse 23, the life is more than meat, the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, for God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If you then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take your thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, they toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Sodom and all his glory are not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which today is in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Now seek not ye what ye shall eat. There ain't a mumbling one of y'all that obey any of what we just read to do. You can't. God didn't expect you to. God expected you to rightly divide the word of truth, and then rightly dividing the word of truth, when you separate Paul's epistles out, you've got to consider what Paul said over here. He told you to do that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. He said, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Yeah. So when I consider what Paul says, Paul tells me if I don't work, neither should I eat.
That's right.
Yes.
We got a welfare system that's making non-workers out of people. Able-bodied men that won't go to work. I'm not talking about if you can't work. He said if a man won't work. Check it out in Thessalonians. He said if a man won't work, neither should he eat.
That's right.
I mean, I didn't say it. God said it. Now watch. Here's the kicker to this thing. It just blows my mind that these people try to preach little to people and never see this next verse. Now watch what he says, verse 31. But seek ye the kingdom of God. When are they going to get into the kingdom of God? At the second coming, beloved. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. When? In the kingdom. So if you don't take no thought for what you're going to wear, you might look like me. All mismatched colors. I have one red sock on one foot and a blue one on the other. Go with me to Titus chapter 2. Somebody tell me what time I got to quit.
You got 10 minutes.
Huh?
You got 10 minutes.
I got about 10 minutes?
Yes, sir.
All right, y'all hollow in 10 minutes. In Titus chapter 2, I want to show you something. Verse 11. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. I believe that's all races of men. I don't believe that's every mumbling person walking on the face of this earth. I believe that's all men race-wise. You understand? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, God would have all men to be saved, comma, and come under the knowledge of the truth. Why? There is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man. Oh, you know, I forgot about Mary. Good gracious. We're going to have to rewrite that verse. No, there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You understand? One man. God means what he says.
Yes.
And listen to me. If you ain't saved, God ain't going to have no problem of telling the angels to take this person and cast him into the lake of fire.
Amen.
Yeah. He ain't going to have a bit of problem with that. You know why? He turned his back on his son at Calvary.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know what Jesus Christ said when he was on Calvary? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. You know what that means? My God, why has thou forsaken me? God forsook his son. His sinless, born son to save low-down people such as me that deserved damnation. I was a child of wrath. I didn't deserve his mercy. But the first verse we read, Ephesians 2, verse 4, but God, got news for you, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sins.
Amen.
Yes. You know, with knowing what it cost Jesus Christ, my Savior, to save me, I don't want to sin. Now, I don't say I don't sin. I didn't lie. You know what Revelation says? All liars are going to have their part in the lake of fire.
Yeah.
Any of y'all lie? If you didn't hold your hand up, you just lied. I'm going to show you one last thing, and I'm going to push you. Go to Romans chapter 11. We're talking about grace. Why do we call this grace believers? Because we believe in the grace of God. I believe that grace, according to Titus chapter 2, teaches me something. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness. He ain't talking about not going to the movie and kicking the cat and walking on the... I used to go to that, and I did it on purpose. You know the good little fella I miss. I'd go pick my grandkids up at that school out there, and they had these lawns all manicured, and they had these little concrete walkways and all. And I'd see these teachers bringing these kids out, and some of them would step on the grass, and that teacher grab me, you know, on the side. I'd go across that grass just. But you know what I used to think about? You crazy people. Somebody riding a lawnmower over this mess of cutting it. Yeah. And you won't even walk on it. That's ridiculous. Romans chapter 11. Verse 5. Romans 11, verse 5. Even so then, at this present time, the time frame would be Acts chapter 20. I believe that's when Romans was written, somewhere around Acts 20. Now, that's my belief. You may not believe that. That's okay. I don't care. Even when we, verse 5, even so then at this present time also, there's a remnant. That's a remnant of Israel. There's a remnant according to the election of grace. Now, verse 6, and if by grace, then is it no more of works. Didn't Peter preach works to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verse 34?
Yes.
He sure did. Well, Peter, got news for you. It ain't works no more. Under Paul's ministry, it ain't no more works. Just like Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is being manifested and witnessed by the law. Now watch what he says in verse 6. If by grace then is it no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. In other words, if you got to work for it, it ain't grace. You understand? And if you'll study Galatians chapter 5 real close right here, you that are being justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. That's very clear. Galatians chapter 5, read it. Study it. Verse 6 in the middle, but if it be of works, then is it no more of grace? In other words, if you can work for your salvation, it ain't by grace. And if you can work for your salvation and merit the eternal life that God promised to you, Jesus Christ died in vain.
That's right.
You understand? God Almighty is a crook for crucifying his son if you can work for it and gain it.
Amen.
He shouldn't have never crucified him. And you know what Paul said in Galatians 3:21 right about there. You need to write these notes down and study them. Don't have time. I ain't got time left to do that. Then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. Beloved, grace is something to be very thankful for. We got the most blessed message in this entire Bible that you can find. You can't find a better doctrine or a better message for a group of low-down, sorry people such as us.
Amen.
God would have... Do y'all know how many times God repented in the Old Testament of not killing Israel? Y'all do know that God repented, didn't you?
Amen.
Yeah. Moses stood in the way. Paul tried to stand in the way. He said, I could wish myself a curse from Christ, from my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, that I might save
some of them.
And you know how that some of them got saved? By grace.
Amen.
Appreciate your time.
Amen.